Father in heaven, we rejoice from the very depths of our hearts for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that all we have to do is to trust him. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst enable us more and more to simply trust him. We pray that thou wouldst take away from us dependence on the flesh. Help us to trust the Lord with all our hearts, to lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge God, and he shall direct our paths. Lord, give us liberty in this house today. We bless thee, our God, that thou art working in this house. We thank thee that there's blessing in this place. But, O God, thou hast just given us an appetite for greater things. We have of the waters to the ankles and to the knees. Oh, let the tide rise to the loins, and waters to the breasts, and waters to swim in. Lord, send us revival. A mighty old-fashioned heaven-sent sky blue outpouring of the Spirit of God. Lord, let it come. In this day of darkness, in this day of apostasy, in this day of evil, Lord, send the power of God down upon us. Make us strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Bless you for that dear man on Wednesday that traveled all the way from County South, County Down to get here to come to Christ. Lord, we thank thee that it's noised abroad that Jesus is in this house. Oh, our hearts are filled. We thank thee, our God, for our brethren who stood true to Christ outside Buckingham Palace. And we pray that thou wouldst bless them and bless them abundantly. Lord, we realize that the Roman Antichrist has stretched out his hand to wear out the saints and persecute the people of God. But thou shalt bring him to naught, and thou shalt cast him down. And over Babylon, the saints shall shout, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! For the Lord hath avenged himself of her, and in her was found the blood of the saints, and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Lord, shake England, we pray at this time, through this coming court case. Then, Lord, we thank thee for what thou didst do in the courts this week. Our God and Father, we realize that this preacher was tried in his absence, and the testimony of this house was tried, and every effort was made to wear out the saints and scandalize the people of God. But we bless thee that God is on the throne. We thank thee today that there's a God who delivers. There's a God who answers prayer. There's a God who answers by fire. And we pray that thou wouldst bring the hidden things of darkness into light, and that you would drag into the open gates the man that planned and schemed and lied and cheated and conspired. My God, bring them out into the openness of public scrutiny. And may our God, their villainy be known unto all men. May their conspiracy be laid open before the people, and may it be known, our God, that there is evil and corruption in high places. Thou art able to deliver thy people. Oh, we thank thee, Lord. Only God answered prayer. Only there was a God that overruled. Then, our God, thy people would have been branded with evil, and they would have been hallmarked with guilt. But we bless thee for thy deliverance. We can say today that when men rose up against us, breathing out their cruelty, I had hinted unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And we thank thee that the best is yet to be, that God has great things for his people. Oh, we bless thee. Lord, deliver us from tyranny and arbitrary power. Deliver us from these soldiers that are an army of occupation upon us. Deliver us from the corruption that's in the ranks. And we pray that thou wouldst do something in this land that will show that God hears the cries of his people. Oh, for a breath from heaven. Oh, for a blowing of the wind of God. Oh, Spirit of God, come thyself and breathe upon this land. Lord, we're like the covenanters. We're persecuted on every side. We realize that there are perhaps darker days ahead for us. But we thank thee that the darkness is before the light and the darkest hour before the dawning. We can say, rich are the moments of blessing, lovely and hallowed and sweet, when from my labors at noonday, calmly I rest at his feet. Ever he walketh beside me, brightly his sunshine appears, spreading a beautiful rainbow over the valley of tears. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. The people of God said, Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to this 9th chapter of Genesis? I've entitled my message, Shedding a Beautiful Rainbow Over the Valley of Tears. And we're looking at verse 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. When you open the book of Genesis, three representative men step out from its pages. First of all, there's Adam, then there's Noah, and then there's Abraham. These men are federal heads of their own particular seed. Adam is the federal head of the race. Noah is the federal head of the new world after the flood. And Abraham is the federal head of God's people because he's called the father of the faithful. So in Adam, you have the father of the race, and Noah, you have the father of the new world, and in Abraham, you have the father of the faithful. There are three characteristics common to each of these men. Number one, in their lifetime, there was a great historical happening or epoch that changed the whole destiny of the world. In Adam's time, there was a fall. In Noah's time, there was a flood. And in Abraham's time, there was the beginning of the Jewish nation by the call of Abraham to separate from his father's house and journey to the land of promise. So there was a great epoch in all their lives. Secondly, there was a great promise given to each of them. Adam had a great promise. It was the promise of the coming seed that would bruise the serpent's head, Genesis 3:15. To Noah there was a great promise given. It was a promise that never again would the world be destroyed by a flood. And to old Abraham, there was a great promise given. And if you turn over to chapter 12 and verse 1, you'll find it was a sevenfold promise, and it was unconditional. It wasn't what man did, it was what God did. He said, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And old Nasser is still getting the curse, even to this day. God's blessings are unlimited and unconditional. Of course, we have the covenant of grace here. So we have the promise given to Abraham. So there were three promises. Three great events, but something else. There were three great signs. The sign to Adam was the cherubim, turning every way and keeping the way to the tree of life. The sign to Abraham was circumcision, the mark upon his flesh that he was in covenant relationship with God. And the sign to Noah was the rainbow in the sky. And we want to have a look at the rainbow. Now, first of all, let me show you that the basis of this rainbow was the basis of blood shedding. For every token of good comes to us because of the cross. If you turn back to chapter 8 and verse 20, it says, Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and there arose from the sacrifice on the top of Mount Ararat, there arose a sweet smelling savor. And because that was typical of the sacrifice of the cross, God put the rainbow in the sky. So any blessing that you could get, and any enjoyment that you can get, and any rejoicing that you can have, is based upon the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Now I want you to notice that God put a very special sanctity on blood. Blood is very important in the scripture. Of course, the old modernist knows nothing about it, because in his blinded ignorance, he has never read or really studied the Word of God. There are three great designations in the Bible concerning man and concerning the state of man. And I want to draw your attention to them. The first one you will find in Romans chapter 2 and verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. So there are people without law. And they, of course, are headed up in Noah. And when they were without law, before the law was given by Moses, the blood was not to be eaten. It says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So blood was forbidden in the diet of those without the law. Why? Because the blood had a special sanctity upon it. It was typical of precious blood that redeems us from all our iniquities. Now, of course, there are those under the law. And if you turn over with me to John's Gospel, chapter 1, for the law was given by Moses.
by Moses. So when Moses came, the law was given. And if you look at Romans 6 and 14, it talks there about those under the law. So there were those without the law, and then there are those under the law, when the law was given. And under the law, blood again was not to be eaten. I'm reading verse 26 of Leviticus 7. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood. Now, there is not only those that are without the law and those that are under the law, but praise God, there are those under grace. Thank God we're under grace this morning. But under grace and under this present dispensation of grace, blood has not to be eaten either. And if you turn over with me to the book of the Acts, chapter 15 and verse 29, you will see that the New Testament church was commanded that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood. So without the law, blood was not to be eaten. Under the law, blood was not to be eaten. Under grace, blood is not to be eaten. You know why? Because God has put a special sanctity upon the blood. Now, this rainbow, most interesting study, it came as the result of the sacrifice. I want you to notice something that in the Old Testament and in this world of ours when we're still in sin, you will notice that the rainbow is linked with the cloud. The cloud and the rainbow go together. Look at verse 16 and verse 14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth. The cloud brings a shadow, doesn't it? But it not only brings a shadow, but it brings the bow. The bow shall be seen in the cloud. Look at verse 16. And the bow shall be in the cloud. Now, if you turn over to Revelation chapter 4, you get the rainbow again. You found it in the first book of the Bible. But now we're exalted to heaven and there's a rainbow in the heaven. Verse 3 of chapter 4 of Revelation. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne. Thank God the clouds are gone now. When we're down here in this old earth, we see the rainbow, but it's silhouetted with a cloud. But there's a day coming when we'll see the rainbow without a cloud. And God shall shed eternally a beautiful rainbow over the valley of this world's teeth. Now, of course, the rainbow has seven colors. The top colors are red, orange, and yellow. Those are the colors that you can see in the fire. They're the colors that come in the furnace, and they speak to me of God's justice. Thank God those are not the colors that are next the earth, they're next the heaven. I'm glad that we don't stand before God's justice, first of all. You have blue, purple, and indigo, which are the next colors, and they are the heavenly colors. You look into the heavens, you'll see these colors. What do they speak of? Those colors speak to me of God's love. But they mingle together in a seventh color, and where the blue and the yellow meet, there is green. And green, of course, is the color of everlasting. We talk about the evergreen. Now you turn back to Revelation chapter 4, and you'll find that the rainbow in the heaven, it's all green. My, all the other colors are forgotten. Look at it. Verse 3 of Revelation chapter 4,
and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald, and an emerald is green.
So we have the blazing colors and the heavenly colors, and they're meeting in an everlasting color. What does that everlasting color speak of? That speaks, my friend, of everlasting salvation. That you know, when I'm standing on earth, I'm still very conscious of God's judgment. Still very conscious that I'm a poor sinner that Jesus had to die to save. And I'm also very conscious of God's love and of the heavenliness and the royalty of the person that came from heaven and bore my sin. And I'm glad that justice and mercy have met at the cross, and in the center of the rainbow there is this color of green. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to be occupied with salvation and salvation alone. For the rainbow has changed its color, and it's like to an emerald. It's all green in the glory land. I want you to notice something else about Revelation chapter 4. It's a complete rainbow in verse 3. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. Scientists tell us that if we could view a rainbow properly, that it's always complete. But it's only as we get on a high altitude that we can see the complete rainbow. And you know, the first rainbow that was seen, it was seen in a high altitude because Mount Ararat was a very high mountain, and old Noah was up there, and the first time he saw the rainbow, he saw it a complete circle. What does that mean? That means that God's salvation never had a beginning, that God's salvation will never have an ending, and I'm caught in the eternal circle of God's everlasting embrace. There's no talk of it falling away here and been lost. None of that in this verse. I want to tell you, you know what it says, and I want you to read it with me again. Get back there to Genesis 9. It says this, I will remember my covenant. I will look upon it, that I might remember, look at it, the everlasting covenant. And you know what God does? He sheds this everlasting covenant over the valley of our tears. It was a valley of tears for Noah. The whole earth was distraught. All his blood relations, except his wife and his sons and his daughter-in-laws, were no more. Old Noah had a broken heart. He had preached to those people for 120 years, and not one of them had come into the ark. How did he feel when he stepped out into a new world when the waters of the flood had gone down? I'll tell you, God put a beautiful rainbow in the sky. God said, no, I'm going to tell you something. I'll never destroy the earth again with a flood of waters. When I look on that bow, I will remember my everlasting covenant. God is looking at a rainbow this morning. It's the rainbow round about the throne. And when God looks at that rainbow, he remembers the covenant that he made with his son, that those that trust in the blood of the Lamb shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life. God looks on it this morning. And praise God, sometimes the mist may veil our vision. Sometimes down in that dark valley, we can't see too well. But brother, even in the cloud there is a bow. And even in the land of dark shadows, there's God's unfailing covenant. And he sheds for us a beautiful rainbow
over the valley of tears.
On Monday evening, although I was in bed all day, I got an urgent call to go out to the Dundonald Hospital to see our good friend and brother Cecil Craig. Cecil was a man of God. He loved the Lord. He was an elder in the old church, and when the minister attacked this church and this preacher, he did the right thing. He stood up and walked out and never went back. And he passed through deep suffering. And he said to his wife, "I'd like Mr. Paisley to come and see." And I went to see him on Monday night. It was nearly Tuesday morning. There was a great snowstorm on. The winds were howling. When I went in, that dear man down in the valley was whispering the name of Jesus. There was a rainbow in the valley for him. And as he passed over, his last words upon his lips were the words of Jesus. I repeated that verse, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me." I could feel his tightening pressure on my hand. And then when I said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a blessed response. My, I'm telling you, friend, there's nothing like having your eye on God's rainbow in the day of trouble. And to know, no matter what happens, we're singing it, trusting as the days go by, trusting as the moments fly, trusting whatever they fall, trusting Jesus, that is all. That's all you've got to do. Is there someone in the meeting this morning who hasn't trusted Christ? You've never seen the rainbow. You've never washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad to tell you that the Savior that dear brother trusted in is here. And he's here to forgive you and to pardon you and cleanse you and to save you. God grant that you'll come to him this morning.